In his speech to Congress last night, President Bush predicted that the war on terrorism will not look like previous conflicts. He promised to use diplomacy, intelligence operations, covert action, and unconventional tactics, such as cutting off the financing of terrorist groups. He also promised to use every necessary weapon of war. NPR's Steve Inskeep reports that military preparations already are underway.
The Army Special Operations Command says some of its units have orders to travel overseas. The military is not saying which units are going, but that command includes, among others, an elite infantry regiment known as Rangers and also commando units. Those units have bitterly won experience trying to hunt down and capture enemy leaders in places like Somalia. And some U.S. officials have suggested that the military could seek to capture or kill Osama bin Laden. But last night, President Bush mentioned far more than bin Laden. Mr. Bush vowed to defeat bin Laden's entire organization, known as Al-Qaeda. He demanded that Afghanistan's Taliban government immediately hand over all Al-Qaeda members within its borders, close terrorist camps, and allow U.S. inspection of those camps. And he suggested he was ready to order attacks on the Taliban itself.
The Taliban must act, and act immediately. They will hand over the terrorists, or they will share in their fate.
The Secretary of the Army said yesterday that U.S. forces are ready to conduct sustained land combat operations if so ordered. For both military and diplomatic reasons, the Pentagon is not disclosing where ground forces would be based. Most U.S. allies in the region have to worry about protests or terrorist attacks within their own borders. Pakistan has said it would provide logistical support to U.S. forces, but has not said they could be based there. The Pentagon won't comment on reports that Central Asian republics like Uzbekistan may have a role to play. Uzbekistan's own government faces an Islamic terror movement, which the president pointedly mentioned last night, suggesting the two countries face a common enemy. U.S. officials do say they're strengthening U.S. air power in the region. Military personnel across the United States have been saying goodbye and preparing to move. An air base in Louisiana is home to 60 B-52 bombers. Last night, a spokesman at Barksdale Air Force Base said an unspecified number of those bombers are deploying overseas. From a base in South Dakota, B-1 bombers are on their way. Smaller fighters are departing from other bases. An air base in New Jersey is sending a limited number of supply planes and refueling planes. Tanker planes can fill up combat aircraft in mid-flight. They extend the range of smaller U.S. aircraft, like the planes from U.S. aircraft carriers in the Indian Ocean. As the president spoke last night, several of the military's top generals were in the audience.
And tonight, a few miles from the damaged Pentagon, I have a message for our military. Be ready. I've called the armed forces to alert, and there is a reason. The hour is coming when America will act, and you will make us proud.
It's not clear how the U.S. would direct its firepower at Afghanistan. It's one of the world's poorest countries. It has suffered from 20 years of war, and military officials acknowledge there's not much left to bomb. What's more, Pentagon officials stress they don't want to cause excessive civilian casualties. Still, a man who planned the U.S. air campaign in the Gulf War says air power may disrupt terrorist operations. John Warden says even in Afghanistan, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda depend on what little infrastructure does exist.
If there were no communications, no ability to move money, no transportation, then bin Laden and Al-Qaeda wouldn't be there, because it would make no sense other than as a place to hide out, and then you have to go someplace else to make a phone call. So there is a reasonable amount of those kinds of facilities around: communications, money, transportation, seats of government, and so on. Some of those things are probably reasonable air targets.
Afghanistan would not be defenseless. In its mountainous terrain, guerrillas have defeated invading armies for centuries. In the 1980s, the United States supplied Stinger anti-aircraft missiles to Afghans fighting the Soviet Union. U.S. officials say several hundred of those missiles are unaccounted for. Such weapons, or others like them, might be effective against low-flying aircraft. And the president suggested last night that in this conflict, unlike other recent conflicts, the United States expects to suffer casualties. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Washington.